Hi, I'm Harriet Thomas. Welcome to There's a Walk for That. I'm not a doctor or a fitness expert, just someone who discovered a simple daily habit that transformed my health and my happiness. From easing stress to boosting your energy, there really is a walk for that. Each week, I explore the power of walking and share simple tips to help you make it part of your day. And I bring you our trail mix, three songs chosen by my guests to reflect their life and their passions. I've got something special for you too. My book, Walk Yourself Wonderful, is launching soon. If you're interested in discovering a powerful daily practice that works in harmony with your body's natural design to help you go from frazzled and fatigued to fit and full of joy, then find me on Facebook or Instagram at Feel Good Walk. Just DM me the word joy to join the waiting list and get the book before its official release at half price. So let's get on with the show. Today on the show, we are diving into a topic that's being talked about more than ever, but still isn't fully understood, and that is ADHD. And you've probably heard the term a lot recently. Maybe you've seen it discussed on social media, in the news, or even recognized parts of it in yourself or in people around you. But beyond the headlines, what does ADHD actually feel like, and how can we better support it in everyday life? To help us unpack all of that, I'm joined by Amy Huckle. Amy works closely with individuals navigating ADHD, as well as with businesses looking to make their workplaces and practices more supportive and responsive to the needs of employees with ADHD. She brings both professional insight and a real personal understanding of how ADHD shows up in everyday life. And we'll be talking about everything from what's happening into the brain to why something as simple as going for a walk can make a real difference. We'll also explore why movement can sometimes succeed, where just focusing, just trying to push through, can sometimes fail. And we'll also look at whether nature adds an extra layer of benefit and how people from everyday individuals to well-known names like Richard Branson are learning to work with their ADHD rather than against it. And of course, we'll finish with some practical, easy-to-use tips focusing on how and when to use walking as a simple but powerful tool to reset your mind, boost your focus, and feel more grounded. Whether you have ADHD or just a busy, overloaded brain, these are ideas that can work for anyone, wherever you are on the spectrum. So let us get right into it. Welcome to the show, Amy. It's great to have you here.
It's great to be here, Harriet. Thank you so much for inviting me along.
Well, I'd love to start by finding out more about you and your work and where your interest in ADHD comes from.
My interest in ADHD is that it's part of me. I live with ADHD every single day. I had my formal diagnosis of internalized hyperactivity and combined ADHD in February 2025, but I have lived with ADHD for my entire life, and I was 41 when I had my diagnosis.
What happened that made you look for a diagnosis?
The funny thing is, and I said this a lot to friends, I don't need a doctor to tell me that I have ADHD. I also have other neurodiversities, such as dyslexia. There is a more likely chance that if you already have a neurodiversity, that you'll have another neurodiversity. I never really felt normal. And I know that's a trigger word, but all my life I felt different and things just weren't making sense for me at all. From the way that I would approach a task to how I would form relationships with new individuals. And I would recognize the things that just make me are very, very akin to the symptoms of ADHD. Now, it wasn't really until I started the pathway of diagnosis, but things just started to make a bit more sense. There is a power that comes with understanding yourself. There is a sense of grief for your previous self, your pre-diagnosed self. Who could I have been today if the knowledge was out there before about how differently symptoms can show up for women and girls than it does for men and boys. How different would my life be now if somebody had just advocated for me? You sort of grieve who you could have been. And the aspect there is knowledge, learning about yourself, learning about maybe why you've done certain things or reacted in certain ways. Or why, like in my experience, you suddenly find yourself at 40, 41, going through perimenopause, having a young child, and just feeling completely touched out, overwhelmed, overstimulated. You're in the middle of Tesco's. You've been looking at the back of the oat milk carton for like 20 minutes, and you are paralyzed as to why you can't put one in the basket and make a decision. It all starts to make sense. Seeking an ADHD diagnosis and starting medication was the single most important thing that I've done for myself.
You're listening to There's a Walk for That with me, Harriet Thomas, here on UK Health Radio. And this is the show where we explore how you can use the superpower of the daily walk to transform your physical and mental health. And today I'm talking with ADHD coach and consultant Amy Huckle. So Amy, you have given us a beautiful personal insight into what it means for someone to be living with ADHD undiagnosed. But it still feels like it's a very misunderstood subject. So can you shed some light on, you know, what actually is ADHD and how do you think we should be thinking about it?
ADHD is not one size fits all. My ADHD symptoms might be different from somebody else's. We also need to remember that ADHD symptoms are very different and can present really, really differently for women and girls than they do for men and boys. And growing up through the 80s and 90s and noughties, even in modern day, there is this stereotypical image that we count in our brains when somebody says they have ADHD, of a naughty boy in a schoolroom being very disruptive, acting out, and the parents saying the child has this thing called ADHD. And if we're honing in on ADHD, attention deficit hyperactive disorder specifically, as opposed to ADD, which is attention deficit disorder, there's three types of ADHD. There's predominantly hyperactive, not being able to stay focused, keeping to task, and appearing to a neurotypical person as quite scattered. So not somebody that you would rely on to turn up at 9 o'clock with the meeting notes prepped, for an example. Then there's also predominantly inattentive ADHD, which is the complete opposite. So somebody may present with symptoms of a short fuse, little interest in things, and in a conversation, they might lose track of what the other person is saying. They might need to ask several follow-up questions. And then there's a combined version, which is both. So the brain is doing this the entire time. I'm very hyperactive, but actually I'm really not interested and I have some inattentiveness going on over here. And when those two combine, so the third one, the combined ADHD type, it can create turmoil, actually, for the individual on the inside and inside their brain. And they need strategies. So might need medication, but they essentially need support, understanding and strategies. It reminds me of the Britain's Got Talent contestant years ago, and he had an original song called Where's My Keys, Where's My Phone? And I literally do that every single day. Where's my keys? Where's my phone? Where's my glasses? Before I go out the house. I remember growing up, my parents would explain me to other parents like a swan. Like, so on the surface of the water, looking really, really calm. But then underneath the water, the legs are going really, really fast. Now, I like that analogy for explaining overwhelm and overstimulation in internalized hyperactivity. It ruins our day. The school run is a massive trigger for me personally. I know it is for other parents out there every single day. When you have ADHD and you have the hyperactivity version of it, or the combined version, and it's internalized, it ruins our day. There is a hell of a lot of self-regulation that needs to be learnt.
Yes.
Doesn't come. And that's where coaching comes in. That's where listening to podcasts with lived experience of others comes in, so that you can recognize it about yourself. And then once you recognize it, you know it, because you don't know what you don't know. But when you recognize it and you make that connection, you then know it. And when you know it, you're aware of it, you can manage it.
Thank you so much for that. It's so fascinating. And I'm hearing again and again that importance of awareness as the first step. We're heading into the commercial break right now, but stay with us, because afterwards we're looking at some interesting research that links just 20 minutes of moderate exercise, such as a walk in the park, with improvements in focus.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
So welcome back. You're listening to There's a Walk for That with me, Harriet Thomas, here on UK Health Radio. And this is the show where we explore how you can use the superpower of the daily walk to transform your physical and mental health. And today I'm talking with ADHD coach and consultant Amy Huckle. And Amy, I read some really fascinating research that shows how movement can directly support ADHD symptoms. For example, there was a study in the Journal of Attention Disorders that found that just 20 minutes of moderate exercise can improve attention and executive function in people with ADHD. So, from your perspective, what do you think is actually going on in the brain when someone with ADHD, for example, goes for a walk? You know, what does it feel like? But also, can you also unwrap this term executive function? Because that's another of those terms that I hear or read so many times, and I'm like, I actually don't know what that means.
Sure. I mean, who would have thought that we'd be in 2026 talking about how exercise can be good for you? This applies to everybody. If you have a brain, getting outside, getting some fresh air, getting the vitamin D on your skin, there's science behind it, how it then tricks your brain or motivates your brain into feeling better. So exercise is good for you. Getting outside is good for you. It's interesting to approach it from the angle of somebody with ADHD. Now, again, I'm talking about my own lived experience here and the benefits that I find getting outside and going for a walk. Getting out in nature, there's a piece of my brain that remembers my childhood. Going out all day for bike rides. The summer holidays lasted forever. For me, the way my brain works, it's association. The vitamin D, the dopamine, which is the chemical that ADHD people are deficient in, is really important. The sunshine, the memories, it's joyful. It's joyful for me. I live in a part of Northamptonshire in a village. And at the centre of this village is a recreational park. And it's really popular with all the local residents. I go there quite a lot with my daughter. There's this big open space of grass with a relatively flat path going around it. There's a small incline. I avoided that to begin with, but now I'm there. There's no cars, there's no traffic, and I can quite happily go for a walk around the rec while she plays on the play equipment. My brain is never quiet. There is always a chatter going on. particularly with hyperactivity, ADHD, there's always something. And trying to filter that chatter and trying to organise our thoughts can be very difficult. So when I'm walking and I notice actually that the irises have started to grow, and isn't it early for poppies? And then all of a sudden my daughter is by my side and she's asking me what I'm looking at. And then she's really curious to feel how soft the petal is. Without knowing it, without orchestrating that, we've created a conversation, we've bonded, we've had some mindful moments, and her appreciation of nature and how important it is to take care of these plants has just happened. And that's magic. That's magic. And for me, that's why I do it. That's why I make sure I do a walk around the rec. And I am intentionally mindful to notice something.
That intentionality is incredibly important. Welcome back. You're listening to There's a Walk for That with me, Harriet Thomas, here on UK Health Radio. And this is the show where we explore how you can use the superpower of the daily walk to transform your physical and mental health. I'm having a fascinating talk with Amy Huckle, ADHD coach and consultant. And Amy is helping me to understand what ADHD actually is and what it feels like day to day and how things like movement can start to shift that experience. So just before the song, we were talking about executive function, and Amy was going to explain what that means and how, if you're in a work situation and you're feeling overwhelmed and you're feeling like there's just too much to do and you don't know where to start, how movement might help rather than trying to push through. So over to you, Amy.
Thank you. Now, executive function really is just the set of cognitive processes in our brain, often called kind of the management system. And it's interesting how we've talked already about ADHD brains with a hyperactivity never being quiet and not being able to organize thoughts in a process. In a nutshell, that's what executive function is. And executive dysfunction is the inability to successfully organize those thoughts or processes. The core components of that is our memory, core memory, our ability to think flexibly, which is, it can be quite challenging in some symptoms of ADHD and autism in particular, our kind of self-regulation. Executive dysfunction throws that out the window because our ability to contain our emotions or our reactions to a cause, we don't have any. We don't have any control of that. So in a nutshell, that's what executive function and executive dysfunction is. And it's really important because it shows up a lot in work because it affects our attention, our inhibitions. We've often heard the terminology RSD, which is rejection sensitivity dysmorphia, to feedback. Now, that feedback may be very well intentioned and structured beautifully by, you know, an exemplary manager. But let's be honest, those managers are very few and far between. So even the best of intentioned feedback to somebody with ADHD who has rejection sensitivity dysmorphia, they feel that pain and it's a personal attack, and that can then impact their performance at work and their ability to stay focused on task. It also affects goal setting. So when it's the time of appraisals or your personal development review, you may find that you're going through the set of objectives that were set 12 months ago and not actually achieving any, but you've done a lot of work and you've achieved great strides, but actually what's written down on the paper has been deviated from. And this again is where ADHD coaching is so beneficial, because awareness comes knowledge, and with knowledge comes learning. You know what your triggers are, and you will learn how to regulate and how to monitor those situations so that you become better at managing your executive function.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. You're listening to There's a Walk for That with me, Harriet Thomas, here on UK Health Radio. And before the break, we were talking with ADHD coach and consultant Amy Huckle about executive function, about how an executive dysfunction and how that might show up in a workplace. And Amy was telling us that there are some things that we can do today to make the work environment somewhere that neurodiverse people can thrive.
Thank you. What I'm going to say right from the get-go is this is so easy. Let's not overthink this. Let's not make it a big kind of assessment that we need to complete every 12 months to demonstrate that we're meeting X, Y, and Z. No, actually, let's break it down. You're a business and you've needed to hire somebody to do a certain role or a certain function. The likelihood that you're going to have some neurosparkly people is very high. So what's the first thing as an employer you can do right now, actually not even the rest of the day, just right now, that you can do to take another step forward to making your workplace neuroinclusive? Easy. Ask. Who would have thought that asking the person with the disability, with the neurodiversity, with the protected characteristic, how they can be best supported in work to enable them to be the best sales and perform the best for the company? Who would have thought that that's the biggest, most effective thing that you can do? And listening. Really listening. Not, hi, how are you? Moving on to the next point. How are you? Is everything okay? How are you really? One little extra word. Empathy and compassion in leadership will never go out of fashion. And sometimes it just creates that safe space for that individual who may not know that they have a neurodiversity, who may be on a pathway, who may be unsure as to whether or not they need to pursue some kind of diagnosis. It may enable them to feel safe enough with their manager to say, oh my God, no, I am not okay. But for the purpose of this conversation, yes, I am. Thank you for asking. I don't actually know what's going on, but thank you for asking. Staff are our biggest asset. There's a reason you hired them. They're also the most expensive because recruitment takes time. And what's time? Time is money. And getting that recruitment wrong can cost you millions. But once that employee has started not supporting them, particularly when you've had these conversations and a disclosure may have been made, getting that wrong, we end up in employment tribunals where the amount is uncapped. And we're talking multi-million pounds. So if there are employers listening, your key takeaway is, what is this going to cost me if I don't get it right? Or if I don't do this, if I don't have that conversation, or if I don't educate myself?
And let's remember, there may well be employers and managers who have neurodiversity, right?
Absolutely. I mean,
you know, so it could be a wonderfully freeing conversation and process to start in your company. So welcome back. You're listening to There's a Walk for That with me, Harriet Thomas, here on UK Health Radio. And I'm talking with ADHD coach and consultant Amy Huckle. And we've talked a lot about ADHD, what it is, how it might be approached by both managers and employees in the workplace. And, you know, one of the UK's foremost entrepreneurs, Richard Branson, now openly talks about having ADHD and how he uses movement to manage his energy and focus. So do you think that movement and walking is still a bit of an underused tool for people with ADHD?
Massively. And I wouldn't stop there. I wouldn't just curtail it to people with ADHD. I would say massively underused by everybody. In an age where the world is getting smaller because transport links are much improved, because of advances in technology, you know, through COVID, everything went virtual, use of AI, the world is speeding up. And people who work or have businesses like Richard Branson and many other entrepreneurs, their time evaporates. They're constantly, if they're not working on the business, they're working in the business. It's important not just for ADHD people or people with ADHD, but everyone to be intentionally mindful. And it sounds so simple, doesn't it? The things that we've talked about today are really simple. We talked briefly about some of the things that employers can implement today. One is asking. Another one is caring about your employees' well-being. And we've also talked about actually the benefits of getting outside and into nature. Now, if we're doing that for ourselves, I really, truly believe that employers should be urging, not just encouraging, but actually making it a mandate that their employees need to get outside. People need to take their breaks. Employers need to mandate that employees take their breaks and they get outside. They go for a walk. They intentionally do something to switch off from sitting at their desk. Walking is massively, massively underutilized. I've now started intentionally walking my daughter to school. The actual exercise that comes with the walking is almost like a byproduct of the benefits, because the main benefit is the conversations that we have on the way to school. I learn more about what her day was like yesterday that wouldn't have come out without that walk.
Thank you so much for this conversation. You've given such a personal way in to thinking about ADHD and how that impacts us. I know you're really passionate about helping workplaces become environments where people with ADHD and neurodiversity can truly thrive and contribute. So if there are any business leaders listening who are thinking about how they can better support their teams by making their practices more neurodiverse friendly, how can they get in touch with you?
I would love to have a conversation with anybody who wants to know more about ADHD, neurodiversities, or making more steps forward to making a neuro-inclusive work environment. You can contact me at coaching, which is amy@ahcoaching.onmicrosoft.com.
So have you got any social media hooks where people can find you?
You can. You can find me on Insta or Facebook at Amy Has ADHD.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. It's been such an interesting conversation. And if today's conversation has sparked something for you, our listeners, maybe this is your reminder that support doesn't have to be complicated. Sometimes it can really start with something as simple as asking or stepping outside and taking a walk. You've been listening to There's a Walk for That with me, Harriet Thomas, and Amy Huckle. Thank you so much, Amy.
Thank you for having me. Privileged and honoured. Thank you.
Until next time, happy walking.